What's going on, everybody? This is Renee Perez and Curtis Owens, and you're listening to the Rough and Real Podcast. So today we're just going to be talking, kind of just freestyling, I guess, for the most part, huh, brother?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
We thought about it and we were like, well, let's have a topic. It's what we try to do on every episode. But this time around, you actually brought up helping people, or how do we help our family, or what's the Christian way to go about it kind of thing. And we were discussing that, you know, this is like, do you go tough love? Is tough love biblical? But we really couldn't pinpoint a topic. So we're just going to talk about it. And where do you want to start with that, bro?
Well, man, let's start off with prayer and talking about our week, man.
Yes, sir.
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together. Guide us, empower us today to get your message out there, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my boy.
How was your week, man?
My week was pretty good, man. Let me see, what happened this week? Work, practice, more practice, small group, practice.
You know, you ain't been on the mic in a while, man.
I know, man. Shout outs to you and Elber for last week's episode, man.
Oh, thanks, that was pretty cool. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
If you guys out there haven't had a chance to listen to it, it's called A Special Word. Was that the full exact title?
Yeah, we didn't have a topic. It was kind of just freestyling. I think he had heard an episode that we had did and it really like touched him. So he just wanted to kind of just do a follow up on that and just give his point of view. So I was like, cool, come on over.
Yeah, no, that was really cool. And as a matter of fact, that one was recorded at your house,
yeah,
which is really cool.
Yeah. Sorry about the janky mics, man. I don't got the setup that Renee has over here in the Rough and Real Studios, man.
No, but it's in my opinion, it still sounded really good. I think you and him did a real good job. I think it was a different vibe than what we do here.
Yeah.
It was a lot more intimate,
yeah,
is what I thought. I think this is a lot more relaxed. Even when he was here, I think it was a lot more relaxed.
Right.
We've had Elbert on the show. I think it was episode 5.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there.
False Idols,
featuring Elbert. So, yeah, no, it was a real good show, but I really liked it. I think you guys got really deep. I think it was a real good message to a lot of people. Even myself listening to it, I was like, wow. I mean, I almost wish I was in the room with you guys talking. If not talking, at least listening. Because, yeah, there was definitely a lot of good gems in there. Elbert obviously never disappoints.
No, he doesn't. I mean,
he always does real well.
Talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And you did real good with them, man. And I think that was kind of cool. And that's kind of something that we might potentially be starting here. Cause I know you've been talking to other brothers, maybe also doing some recordings like that with you.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea, man. I personally liked it. I hope everybody out there listening, I hope they felt it. I think they did. As a matter of fact, let us know if you guys like it and want more of it. Well, you know, I'm sure Curtis would be happy to do some more.
Yeah, we got another episode already recorded on apologetics, so we'll release that eventually.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just basically, man, we have some good conversations with a lot of people. I mean, we all do every day. And I'm just kind of like, hey, let's record this. Let's talk, you know,
so the concept was kind of, cause I know you mentioned to me that sometimes you have these conversations on the phone, right?
Yeah. Like most of them on the phone. Yeah.
Chopping it up on the way to work or something. And then all of a sudden it's like, man, we should record this.
Yeah. We should have recorded this, man. That's, you know, not every conversation is for the world, right, you know what I'm saying? Sure. But when it is, it is. And I'm like, okay, let's get it out there.
That's cool, man. That was cool though. No, I think it was a good idea. Anyways, but shout out to you guys. If you guys haven't listened, go back and check out last week's episode. It was definitely a good episode. I enjoyed it. I think I heard it maybe 4 or 5 times.
Damn, man, nah, what?
For real.
That's what's up.
Nah, it was cool.
You know, at the end, Elbert got real deep. And I felt like one thing Elbert brings, he wants to get people saved.
Yeah.
You know, you and I, we kind of just do our thing. We just give information and we're just kind of happy-go-lucky. Right. You know, those guys that are more on that pastor level, they're trying to save souls, man. So I think Elbert was really bringing it deep in that prayer and kind of like trying to make people cry. You know what I
mean? You know what I mean? No, it was good. And it's weird because, like, you know, obviously we're just on air, so people don't really know what we're doing. But like, if you look in my studio or in my office, I also print shirts. So I got stuff everywhere and, you know, the lights are pretty bright and we just got the big desk. So I know what's going on in our room when we record. So when I listen to it, I know kind of where we're at, but I don't know where you guys were. I think you even mentioned that there was a dog or something, the neighbor's dog.
Yeah, the neighbor's dog. Man.
But it was weird because just listening to it and me visualizing you guys, it almost seemed like you guys were like in a low dim room and it was like deep. Like it would have just been something cool to watch. And I'm sure it was probably far from that. But it was almost like, and that's why I feel like I should have been there. Not to talk. It's just to like sit back and just watch.
Yeah.
It's like, it would have been cool just to watch.
No, you know? I appreciate
and I'm
that,
sure man. There was a lot of editing in there that you probably got down on because you're doing a real good job. Even editing this show. You've been knocking it out, man. But no, anyway, so. Moving right along, bro. Going back to my week at work, week was just an average week, bro. At work, work's getting a lot better. maybe, you know, I was thinking last time, maybe it was just the beginning of the year thing. It was just trying to like start all over again and just kind of get things rolling for work. But we're back to normal. Work is work. My boy's still playing multiple sports. He's playing basketball. He's playing baseball now. So I'm coaching both. So running back and forth doing that's fun. You know, but that's it. I also realized I think I'm going to stop coaching a bunch of other stuff. I think I just want to coach baseball. That's my number one sport that I like. Not that I was ever a great baseball player, but I love the sport. So I think that's what I'm going to coach him in. Everything else, I just want to go and be that dad that could just cheer his kid on from the sidelines. And
yeah, there you go.
You know, so that's fun. So that's kind of what I came up with this week.
That's smart, man.
Unless they don't have a coach and then they're going to make me coach. But
oh, man.
No, I think I'm done, though. I think I'm done. I think baseball is what I want to coach. And that I think I can coach for a few more years.
And obviously your son loves baseball.
He loves baseball. He's actually just very athletic, which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he loves playing baseball. He loves playing basketball. He's not a big guy in playing football. Okay. Like he played flag football for a few years, but this time around he was like, nah, I'm done playing football. He really loves hockey. So we might be doing some hockey this winter as well after baseball. You know, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. That sport I definitely can't coach. My feet belong on the ground. I can't ride rollerblades. I can't ice skate. I can't do none of that, man. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. I respect that.
Yeah, but what about you, bro? How's the family?
Family's doing good, man. Wife's good. We're just still doing that rat race, man. You know, commuting back and forth to work and, you know, paying those bills. And, you know, my son's great, man. He's running around. He's loving his new daycare. Mm. That guy's literally running around now, you know. And he's only 16 months, but it's like, he definitely started his terrible twos already, man. I know for a fact this kid is off the hook.
No, you
man.
Just ain't ready for the terrible twos yet.
This kid's off the hook, man. The simplest thing from just putting his shirt on to just like, oh man.
He's starting to fight you with stuff?
Every little thing, dude. And he's not like, he does throw some tantrums and like literally like fall on the ground and roll around and kick the floor. I'm like, dude, you're only 16 months. Like, where did you learn this?
Yeah.
But he just like, man, he's strong. He just likes to wrestle. Like, he just like, get off me.
He's
like,
independent. He wants to do his own thing.
Yeah. And he'll, like, for example, when I'm brushing his hair, like, he'll grab the brush and try to brush his own hair. You know what I mean? So I respect that. And I like that. I'm sure it's going to be beneficial down the road. But right now, I just look at him like, man.
We're trying to go. We're trying to get out the door.
I'm tired too. Man, listen, I gave him that look like, listen, man, you better get it together, man. I ain't going to tell you no more.
Right.
Yeah. So now he's doing good. It's just good to see him grow and some, you know, everything that he does now is new. You know, I've never seen before. The little stuff that he's starting to do, he's starting that, you know, he can say like, uh-oh, and just little things like that is cute. And I'm like, oh man, where'd you learn that? Like, so this is everything kind of just amazes me. It's my first son. So first kid. So I'm just kind of happy with that.
You should enjoy all that stuff. I know a lot of that stuff I enjoy for Sebastian and even though, I guess when he was that age, we were still debating on having more kids, but now I look back and I'm like, man, I'm glad I was there for all that.
Yeah.
We only have one, so.
Yeah, God has truly blessed me, man, to where I can be at home with my family when I need to be, you know what I'm saying? Because I could definitely be at work and doing overtime and a bunch of things like that, but, you know, this is the season where God wanted me home and I'm home, so I'm loving it and I really appreciate it and I'm really grateful for that.
For sure. You know what I mean? For sure. But yeah, no, so let's move along a little bit. I mean, that was our week's. Shout outs to everybody that's listening. I hope you guys are having a great week. I hope your week was exciting. We would love to hear from you guys. Let's start. Where do you want to start, man? You want to just start talking about tough love? Is that what we're going to talk about?
Let's talk about, we can get into tough love. How do we help the people around us? How do we help, for example, if we have a cousin or a brother or a sister that's in trouble, you know, with substance abuse or just can't get it together? Like, what do we do as Christians to help these people? I guess that's kind of a question I've been asked. So I'm like, hey, let's talk about it on the show.
You know, growing up, I was always a believer in tough love. And I guess I still am in a certain sense. I do believe in tough love. But as I thought about it, because you mentioned this before, it was thinking about, okay, so tough love is one thing. But then there's also just saying, hey, you know what? I'm almost done helping you. Like, there's obviously nothing I can do. Because I know I've had people in my life that I've tried to help, and you start by just almost becoming like a crutch for them, because you start getting to the point where you're just like making excuses for them almost, right? Like when they're doing, like you said, substance abuse. Like I had somebody in my life that was involved, did a lot of dope. They did Crystal. They did whatever. And they were running through some issues. And then they ended up getting kicked out of their house. I let them come live with me.
Okay.
And they came. They stayed with me for a while. And again, I was trying to help them. And at that time, we were young. We were in our early 20s. Now, me personally, I didn't do drugs. I drank. That was my thing. That was my drug of choice, I guess you can say, alcohol. But I didn't do Crystal or nothing like that. So for me, it was like, I didn't want it in my house because he lived with me in my house. So I would ask him, like, dude, just, I'm not going to stop you. I can't stop you. I understand where you're at. And it sucked because in the group of friends at that time, he was one of like two or three that were doing it. But like the rest of us, none of us were doing it. You know, it was just they got into it.
Yeah.
So at that time, and we're talking, you know, again, 20 some years ago, but I try to help him out. I'm like, dude, you know, you got to chill. Like, don't, you know, let that go. Like, it's not worth it, blah, 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 whatever. But I still let him come stay, live with me. Well, after a while, I'm like, all right, look, you're going to still do it. Go do it. But don't do it in my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Keep it out of my house. I ain't about that. My mom used to come visit and hang out with me. And I didn't want her finding it and thinking I was doing it. Like, it was just not really cool. So I think he did it for a while. But then eventually I realized he was still doing it in my house. So at that point, I'm like, look, bro, you ain't listening. You ain't, you know, I'm trying to help you out. I'm giving you somewhere to live after your family kicked you out. You got to go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that was it. That's all I can do for you. I love you. You know, you my dude. Like, at that time, he was probably my number one dude.
Yeah.
You got to go. And he had to go. And then there was a time when he was living in the streets and going through, you know, you hear all these crazy stories about what he was going through. For me, that was tough love. It was like, dude, I, you know, but it was tough love, but it was also a thing of me basically saying, look, man, just, I try to help you. I hope, you know, you get past it. I hope you get over it. I don't wish you wrong. I, you know, I wish you the best.
Yeah.
And then I hope you can come back to just being who you used to be, you know, and eventually he did, but it was tough love. You know what I mean? You had to just turn my back on him. I'm like, it is what it is. Your parents kicked you out. That's tough love.
So knowing what you know now, how would you handle that situation like today? If that same situation happened, knowing what you know now.
Knowing what I know now and knowing, honestly, I think I would have, and now that I'm older, I would see it. Or maybe I should have done it then. Now that I'm older, I look at it. I should have tried to gotten him better help.
Okay.
And by better help, I mean either, I mean, I don't know if I could have put him in a drug program. I don't know if I could have gotten him to something like that, right? But I wasn't involved in church at the time. I wasn't you going to church or I wasn't a Christian or anything of that sense. But if it was me now, like if that situation was to happen to me now, I would definitely bring him to church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would definitely have maybe some of the pastors talk to him.
Yes.
Right? Because they obviously know more than I do. So I would like for them to just have a conversation with him. See if they can reach him from different angles. Because I mean, I know now knowing the pastors, I understand that we have pastors in our church that also come from different backgrounds.
Yep.
And they might be able to relate to his story, right? Where maybe I don't. So now bring him to that. Obviously there'd be a lot of prayer now for him, not just for me, but I know I can get a lot of people from the church to pray for him.
Absolutely.
We can get people from this show now today that can probably help me pray for him.
Absolutely.
I think prayer is very, very important. So I would have done it that way. I would have been more prayer and more love. It would have been definitely a lot more love.
Yeah.
Than tough love.
I think that's the point of the show today. It's just to give people some tools that they can use. Cause I know we all go through those situations. And if you haven't, you know, hey, you're blessed.
Yes.
But at some point you're going to have a friend or someone that's going to go through a situation and maybe ask you as a Christian for advice.
Right.
On how to handle that situation. And, you know, that was kind of the purpose of today's show. And I think, I mean, everything that you said is totally right. I mean, covering them with prayer. I mean, if we really have the faith that we say we have and we believe what we believe, first thing we got to do is go to God, right? So
yes.
Go to God. How do we do that? We go in prayer, you know, and we cover that person with prayer. And then, like you said, we reach out and bring him resources, you know, through your church, your pastors or whatever the case may be. So no, that's awesome, man. And then, you know, then we go, you know, if that's not necessarily working or if there's another route, we get them more help. You know, if they need to be in a treatment program or something right. Like on that level, you know, we got to use that too. But I mean, I guess the question is, so tough love. I mean, does God ever give you tough love? You know what I mean?
You know,
let's really think about that. Think, you know?
I mean, yeah, no, because I mean, we do think about, like, I was thinking about it and I break it down and, you know, we say like, okay, well, God will break you down and rebuild you.
Correct.
Is that tough love? The fact that he tears you apart or tears you down to rebuild you to be a better person?
I think that it is.
It's tough love? You think so?
I think that's a form of tough love because, I mean, I think we all have different walks and I think we need to experience different things to understand possibly the mess that we're in. If he just saves us right off the bat before we even fall, are we really going to learn and appreciate what he did for us? I don't know. Yeah. He might not. I mean, we might not. You know, we might not have that much to be thankful for if he just picked us right up before we even fell. So I think allowing us to fall, allowing us to get, you know, bump our heads per se, or just straight up hit rock bottom and allow, but allowing us to come back, that's love.
Yeah, but okay, so, because I see what you're saying, and but my thing is this, okay, so now your son, we're just talking about your boy and how much he's growing. So let's say he likes to reach for the stove.
Okay.
And you keep telling him, you're going to get burnt. You're going to get burnt.
Okay.
You're going to get burnt.
Right.
You're going to get burnt.
Right.
You need to stop. At some point, let's just say, for example, I don't know if you would, but you'd be like, fine, go ahead. You're going to learn. Go ahead. You're only going to do it once.
That's a good point.
Okay. So now he goes, burns his hand. Did you teach him tough love? Was that tough love?
You know, that was a form of tough love, but that's a little bit different, but I see what you're saying. I don't, you know, because I love my son and I realize where he's at in his life as being a really, like a young kid.
Right.
I don't want to see him. It's going to hurt me to see him get hurt.
Yes.
And exactly. I know God loves us on a whole bigger, 100 times higher right. level than we love our sons. So in that case, but at the same time, I'm not always there for, you know, in my son's life. I'm not always like right there in every moment that he has in his life per se. Right. So there's going to be times where, you know, he's going to be in front of that stove and I'm not there to say, don't touch it.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to make a decision at that point. Go, right. You know what? My dad told me it was hot, but I want to touch it. You know what I mean?
Well, the reason I say it is because I feel that God does that to us.
Right.
And I feel God is like, you know, tell you like, save your money. Mm-hmm. Don't spend your money. Don't buy that. Don't buy it. And after a while, I think God goes, go ahead.
I think God definitely gives us a choice. Right?
And then at that point, now you make a choice. You start, you know, you go out and you buy the house you couldn't afford, or you go out and buy the car you shouldn't have bought because you can't afford that $600 payment. And now you go broke. And now you're like, oh my God, I ain't got no money. What am I going to do? Da, 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 da. And then I feel like that's basically the same thing with the stove situation where now God's like, see, I told you. Now let me help you.
Yeah, it comes back to let me help you. Because with your son, he's going to burn himself on that stove. But you're not going to sit there and go, aha, I told you. Oh, well, you're going to put some butter on it. You're going to get some ointment.
Yeah, now let me help you.
Yeah, now take it to the hospital, whatever the case may be.
But that's what I'm saying. So is that tough love, the fact that did God tear you down to rebuild you? Or do you think that's he was trying to keep you from being torn down? You finally made the decision to be torn down. Tear yourself down,
right?
And then he builds you back up, obviously. But that's kind of where I'm trying to get.
No, I hear what you're saying, man. I think it's different in every situation. But I definitely think since we have the freedom of choice, depending on who we are and our spirit and our flesh and how deep this is for us, it just goes to different levels, man. If we choose it on day one and just follow his word for word for what it is, the Bible. You know, we shouldn't have no problems, but it's us that, you know, I know it said that. I know the Bible says that, but come on, man. I've been doing this all my life. You know what I mean?
Right,
that's not a big deal. Is that really a sin? Can I, you know what I mean? You told me not to even, if I even think of a different woman, that's adultery. Come on, God. You know what I'm saying? You know, just little things like that, So, you know, you got to take all that into account, but that's why we're covered by grace.
Yeah. No, you're right. But I'm just trying to say, cause tough love, that's why I think. You know, when I think of tough love, that's almost like when you're a kid and like, what's going to hurt me? What's going to hurt you?
Right.
When you get those spankings, that's tough love. You know, getting kicked out of your house at a young age is tough love to some people because obviously, you know, but to me, it's like sometimes to get that tough love, I think people try to help you along the way and it gets to a point where you don't want to get that help anymore.
Right.
And there ain't nothing left but to give you tough love.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
You know, but. Yeah, no, I think now as Christians, definitely having compassion for others, understanding that, you know, we're not, I don't know. And I think this is something to do too with Christians in general is we always have the tendency of wanting to judge people for their problems and their mistakes.
Definitely.
Right. But we never stop to look at ourselves. And I think that's the big issue. And I think as Christians, that's why tough love sometimes is pretty hard to do when you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Because if you're a Christian and you do believe and everything else, then you have to remember that and we talked about this last time, you know, a couple episodes ago, is that God forgave us for our sins.
Yes.
We ain't perfect. We all have to admit we ain't perfect.
Right.
But the problem is that a lot of us want to magnify your problems so that we can minimize mine.
Yeah, very true.
So say you're on, like you said earlier, substance abuse. Well, you're on drugs. You got a big problem.
Right.
I cheated on my wife. Nobody really knows about it.
Yeah.
So it's a little problem.
It's a little problem.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I cussed at my wife.
Right.
Or my wife, you know, hit me with a frying pan. Nobody's seen it. So therefore, it's a little problem.
Yeah.
You know, but you're on drugs. The whole world sees it. Ha, that's a big problem.
Right.
You know, but we have to realize, well, we all got problems. We all got issues.
And not only that, but in the end, on Judgment Day, all of our thoughts, all of our sins, all of our everything is going to be put on display. He's going to shine light on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things that we have hidden in our hearts and the thoughts that we have is all going to be put on display. So it'll come to light at some point. So don't think that you're getting away with anything.
Yeah, you ain't getting away with nothing, bro. We think we're getting away with it because the wife or the husband don't know about it. Or, you know, our bosses at work don't know about it. But man, God knows.
I just think, you know, sometimes people got to go through some things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To get to where it might be just be a part of your journey. And understand this too. God's the author of the story. He might be using you, you know, during your infliction to further his purpose and his will.
Mm.
We don't know that. Mm. You know, you might have had to hit rock bottom and end up in prison so that you can minister to people in prison. Or you might have had, there's just different things. You might have been, you know, homeless so that you can minister to people that are homeless and reach that crowd. You might have been born this way to reach these people. God, he's trying to reach everybody, and he might be using you. So don't always feel like, oh, this sucks. Why me? You know, you'll find out in heaven when he's handing out those rewards. He's handing out those crowns. You know, he's going to say, well done, man. You know what I mean? And you're like, wow, that's why I had to go through that. That's awesome.
Right.
You know, you just never know.
No, you never know.
And I think that's one thing that, as a part of encouragement to someone that person that's in my life that, you know, is kind of like, man, this ain't fair. I don't understand why this is happening to me. I'll use that as encouragement and just say, hey, you know what? If you choose to believe this, this is what I got for you. And I would just say, hey, you know what? No matter what, God loves you.
Right.
He'll never leave you and forsake you. And if you just choose to rely on him and trust him, this situation will all work itself out. You know what I'm saying? So we always have to just encourage them, remind them who they are, remind them of God's love.
Mm.
And just try to help them that way. I think condemning them, like you said, judging them, that's only going to make the situation worse.
Oh, for sure.
Casting them off, casting them away because, you know what, I'm holy, he's not. That's going to make it worse. God wouldn't want you to do that.
No, not at all, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but it's like you said, right, he kicked it with, who did he kick it with? Who Jesus used to kick it with?
Pimps, players, and hustlers. That's my own interpretation. Sorry about that. It was more like money changers, tax collectors, and yeah.
No, man. But it's true. It's true. It's like, you know, so that's why we just got to be open about it and understand that, man. And now that we're quote unquote Christian or trying to live the Christian life, however you want to describe yourself, you know, we got to do that. We got to go ahead and help people. We can't just sit there and turn our backs on people and be like, well, you know, hope you get it right someday.
Right.
Nah, man, we got to open up our arms, our homes if we can. If we can't open up our homes, open up your wallet. If you can't open up your wallet, open the doors to your own church to this person.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Always put your hands around them. Always put your hands around them.
You know,
but never excuse your sin. You know what I mean? Never. I think there's a lot of people of the world that love their loved ones so much that they'll enable them, you know,
right,
in their sin. They'll support their sin. You know, but as Christians, we cannot do that because we know that God hates sin.
Right.
So we cannot enable these people to get high, to get drunk, to, you know, whatever their vice may be. We can't help them or encourage them. We have to try to steer them in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could be a form of tough love too, where it's like, hey, I just need some money. I just came to your house for some money. I know you came here for money, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to feed you. I'll let you take a shower and I'm going to give you some Jesus. That's all I have for you. Do you want that or not? Like for example, the person, you know, begging for money in front of whatever store. A lot of people go, oh, he's going to use that money to buy alcohol or drugs. So I'm just going to buy him a sandwich. Well, hey, you know what? That's fine. You know, that's, you know, what you're choosing to do. But it's almost along those lines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as Christians, we're going to feed him. And then we're going to try to minister to him and try to, and, you know, sometimes it might just be a prayer, man.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. You know, people, you just, hey, can I pray for you? And people be like, man, absolutely.
You know, it's weird. This is like when I first started going to Thrive. I went to In-N-Out, and it was me, the wife, the kid, or friend Gina and Tony. And there was a guy outside, and there were probably, we were probably 6 months just starting to go to church, maybe 6 months. And there was a guy outside, man, and he was, you know, asking for some food. So I went outside, inside, I bought him a burger and some fries and a drink. And I went outside, and my heart was pounding because in my mind, I wanted to pray for this man. And I was like so scared because I ain't ever prayed for nobody. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was weird. But dude, it was a trip. He was out there. I gave him his food. And all I said was, hey, you mind if I just pray for you right quick?
Yeah.
Man, he almost broke down in tears and was like, yes. And I prayed, and then he prayed, and I just like real simple, you know, God help this man.
Yeah.
That's really all, because I didn't know how to pray. I still don't know how to pray. People in here who listen to our show know that. But he started praying. And it was weird because I'm
that's
like,
cool.
Wow. Yeah. Like I was so afraid because I thought he was going to be like, man, keep your burger. Like I don't need that. You know, but nah, he almost broke down crying for the most part because he was just, you know, maybe nobody's ever prayed for the man, or maybe he was just hoping for something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and not saying that now I go around to everybody, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Right. I don't do that. But yeah, dude, when somebody's hurting, sometimes just praying for them with them.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we might not even know the right words to say.
No.
And sometimes we say the wrong things, trying to think we're being helpful.
Right.
And we end up hurting people. We hurt people's feelings a certain way. Right. Because, you know, we're like, well, just stop doing it. Yeah, ain't that simple when they got addictions.
Right.
But man, just simple. Just say, hey, let me pray for you. And just simple. Hey, God, you know, intervene. Hey, God, come help my brother, my sister, whatever. That alone, I think, is cool.
That's beautiful, man. That's like, you know, it's interceding for that person. And we should, when we have the ability to do that and we have the power to do that, we should absolutely do it. And even if you didn't, like, you know, put your hand on him and pray and ask him to pray, you could have went to your car and just looked at him and say, or just thought about the man and say, hey, that man that was sitting at the door, Jesus, I want to pray for him now, bless his knee. You know, just something like that. You're just, God works in so many different ways. You know, he's deeper than our minds. So
I think prayer is so important, man.
It is, man. Just praying for people and pray for the needs. Like I said, you know,
man,
just, it feels good to me when people walk up to me and just say, hey, I pray for you. You know what I mean? I'm like, thanks. You know, I mean, that was really cool. Like, that's better than a, you know, how are you? Or I was thinking about you. Like, hey, I pray for you. I'm like, man, I really appreciate that. You know?
Yeah. Because we all got problems.
Yeah,
we
exactly. All got needs, you bro. Just don't know. We like, all so got I need that, man.
Yeah, nah.
For but real. That intercession, man, I mean, that's something that's huge, too, because, for example, our kids. Mm. I mean, your kid, he's pretty young right now. So yeah. Is he really in his word and you know, deep in his word and praying to God the way he should? Probably not. But you as his parent, you have the power to intercede for your child and help him that way. You know, a lot of people feel like, okay, well, I'm working. And I'm putting food on the table, and I'm sending him to the best school, and I'm putting the best clothes on his back, and I'm giving him iPads. Is that going to get him into heaven?
Nope.
People think about that. You know, you think you're doing all these things of the world that you think you have to do because the world told you how to do it. Right. But how often are you praying for your child? And I'm talking to the Christians. I'm talking to the people who have ears to hear.
Yeah.
Like, how often are you praying for your child on a deep level?
Yeah.
Like casting out demons. There was that Instagram video I was trying to send to you. I couldn't find it, but this girl, she's recording herself. She's doing like a little selfie video. Mm-hmm. And I guess she came home smelling like weed, and her grandmother was in the background, and she was like old school black lady from the South. Like, I cast out the name, you know, the name of Jesus, cast out all demons. Yeah, yeah. And she was just going all real old school on the girl. And the girl was kind of like rolling her eyes, kind of like, oh, this is funny. My grandma's tripping.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, how many of us actually pray like that for our people? That's real right there.
And not only that, but pray for them and have true belief in your prayer.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
Conviction in your prayer.
Straight faith. Yeah. You know,
yeah, faith, right? Because a lot of times, like, I'll pray for you, but we don't really pray for nobody. Or we pray, but we're just like, all right, God, well, whatever.
I'll pray for you. Yeah.
You know, thanks for giving me today, whatever. Nah, it's like really having belief. And I'm sure that, like, that video, I didn't see it, but the way you're describing it and being old school, I can imagine. You know, she believed what she was saying.
Oh, yeah. It was nuts. She was screaming it out. She was like, this demon is going to leave today.
Yep. And she didn't care if the neighbors heard it. She didn't care who was around. Nope. She didn't care she was being recorded. She was praying to Jesus straight up.
How many of us are praying like that these days, man? Like that deep prayer. Like, I don't care who's watching, who's looking, who hears me.
Yep.
This demon is going to leave. And I think part of the problem is people just don't understand that power they have. Again, I always talk about that. Like, read your word. You'll know that you have tremendous power.
Yeah.
Jesus is inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit. Like, you have power to cast out demons. Yeah. I'm not saying go around and do exorcisms and stuff like that and be all crazy about it, but I'm just saying, you know, you feel like something's coming against your household or whatever the case may be, stand up against it. Don't be a victim.
Yeah.
Be a victor.
You know, it's funny. I was just remembering right now because you were talking about that video. Pastor John Gray, I try to catch his sermons from time to time. And he was saying one time he was talking, he said that when he goes out to dinner with his family, they pray right before they eat and they pray out loud. And he said it was one time it was weird because, you know, they pray out loud, but that they're trying to be respectful to the people around them, right? Just noise wise. But he said there was a bunch of people that were drinking and doing and partying and stuff. So he wasn't tripping. He said when the food came, him and his family, and he started praying nice and loud, you know, pumped his chest out a little bit and he started praying. And he was just thinking to himself, if these people can be loud about whatever they're doing, why can't I be loud about my Jesus?
Isn't that true?
And he just started talking and he said halfway through the prayer, he's like, and God bless that man over there that's staring at me like I'm crazy. Bless him too.
That's funny.
You know,
man, that's
but
funny.
It's true though. It's
that
like,
is true.
Right,
true.
We can go out to a restaurant and laugh and talk about jokes and everything's funny and be loud. But when it's time to pray, it's like, all right, everybody, you know, just keep it down. Like, let's pray.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, nah, you should be able to pray out loud.
Absolutely.
You
man.
Know?
Absolutely.
And I you know, the best feelings that I get sometimes, and I was like, man, when I'm like driving, because I drive a lot for work, like I'm getting off the freeway and I'll hear a car pull up next to me and they're bumping like some kind of worship music. I'm like, what? And like, dude, it's cool because it reminds yeah. me sometimes, because half the times I'm listening to something else, right? Like a right. podcast or something. And I'm like, man, that's what I should be doing.
Yeah.
I'm, boom, I switch it up. But it's cool, man, because I'm like, they're bumping it. They're not yeah. just like, it's not just on. Like, yeah. windows are down, bass is up. And I'm like, whoa, like, that's cool. Because, you know, you get used to hearing all this hip hop music. Or
right,
whatever.
Right.
When you hear somebody bumping some worship music, like, woo, you can hear them two blocks away.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And that's a trip, though, when you think about that. Like you said, if they were bumping some hip hop or some rock, some country, you would think nothing of it.
Right.
It would just be background noise. Yeah. But because it was worship music, you're like, oh, what's up with that? Like,
yep.
it makes you think, like,
yeah.
It, on both sides, like either this fool's crazy or like, oh, that's what's up. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So it stands well, out.
Now it's that's what's up.
Yeah.
3 years ago, I'd have been like,
this fool's tripping.
This tripping.
Like, corny. Corny dude. Cornball.
You got your license plate rattling. Come on.
That's, he got 215s in his car bumping worship music. Get out of here.
But no, but yeah, that's a trip though. You know, so yeah, no, definitely, man. You got to pray for somebody. If you're praying for yourself sometimes, man, you just got to like stand up and shout it out, man. You know,
yeah.
you have to. And sometimes it's good to just scream, man, and just shout it. Like, because it's true. I mean, people got problems, man. If you really want to care about somebody, you got to do it with faith.
Yeah.
That's for real.
No, that's, and that's absolutely right, man. I just came back from a church group tonight.
Mm.
And it was a really good group. And one thing that came up was eternity, you know, spending eternity in heaven
mm.
and how short our life is here. And how it's a trip when you think about that. Like, if you think about our life here versus the eternity in heaven, this is nothing. So all the little problems that we're focused on here, all the things we're worried about on the day to day here, all the times that we feel ashamed to turn up our music, or we feel ashamed to pray out loud in a restaurant, or we feel ashamed to just represent God. Like, how do you think he feels when he sees you doing that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's scripture on that, you know. You're saying that, you know, mention my name, represent me. I'm turning my back on you when I
right,
see you. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
And our life here is so short, so it's
it
like,
really
who cares, man? Represent, be who you are. Everybody else is wearing the t-shirts that represent them.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is wearing their favorite baseball teams and basketball teams. Everyone else is rocking their music. Represent the God that you serve.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If he's really that real to you, if he really means that much to you, represent that man. You know,
mm-hmm.
just like they rep all theirs.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, we got to stand up for what we believe in. And like you said, like the person you saw next to you bumping that music, I bet it encouraged you to be like, oh, let me turn mine up too.
No, it did.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
I'll be bumping that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be my work van bumping.
Exactly, man.
No, and it's true because it's like, you know, you're so quick to run out and get a Jordan t-shirt.
Right,
or
dude.
A Champs
yeah.
t-shirt. But yet, you won't rock a God t-shirt.
Right. right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that is a trip, right? And not only that, but a God t-shirt costs you $20. A Jordan t-shirt is going to cost you
right.
$80. Like, really? You're going to spend $80 on that, but you won't spend $20 on a God jersey and represent God.
And tell me this. Who has ever come up to you and say, why are you wearing a God t-shirt? That's corny. No one has ever
yeah,
said that.
Of course not.
But in your mind, you're thinking like, oh, man, everyone's looking at me. I'm mm-hmm. embarrassed. This is stupid. Like,
yeah.
I'm doing too much.
Yeah. God first, man.
That's the enemy in your head. God first, man.
Hashtag God first.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still got some shirts for sale.
You sure do got some shirts for sale, man. You want a God first t-shirt done by Renee, man. Hit them up. It's actually pretty nice, man. It's a nice design.
But no, yeah, no, it's true, man. That's very true. But tough love. So we broke down to, what was the other thing we were talking about?
Just how we help, man. How we help.
Oh, yeah. And, how do we help? How do we help? And that's what we're
kind of covered everything, man. So what you been reading this week, man?
You know what? I've been trying to get into, so we got our own small group. It's called Fresh Eyes.
Okay.
It's not sermon based. It's based on a book. I wish I had it in front of me, so I don't want to mispronounce the author, but it's pretty cool because it basically just, it breaks down a lot of biblical things and it tells you how to look at them from different angles. As a matter of fact, and I was going to talk to you about this on air and I have my notes. I just didn't have them with me, but he also talks about the Lord's Prayer and he talks about it. So it's mentioned twice in the Bible. And I wish I had my notes, but it's mentioned twice, but he compares them.
Okay.
And there's lines missing. They're not the exact same.
Gotcha.
And then there's a traditional one that we normally say.
Okay.
That also has lines that are not in the Bible.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I was going to bring that up. So if people out there know what I'm talking about, go ahead and, you know, shout us out on email or something.
Yeah.
But maybe the next episode I'll have my notes with me. Yeah. No, it's the Lord's Prayer. It breaks it down in three different ways. The traditional that we all normally say when we're, you know, at church or something. And it's got the two in.
So like the traditional, like Catholic.
No, no. Like version? The ones we say for the most part, like at most churches say, it's just, here it is.
Yeah.
And then there's two different versions of it. Inside the Bible, like there's the original one, and then and I can't remember, and I don't want to mess it up, but somebody refers back to it.
Okay.
And they say it again.
Yeah.
But they're missing a couple lines.
Gotcha.
From the other one, and we'll talk about it maybe another
interesting
episode.
Interesting. Okay.
The Lord's Prayer.
We'll talk
about that too. But no, so that's what he does. He just breaks down different things and tries to open your eyes. It's called Fresh Eyes because he tries to open your eyes to see things from a different perspective, which I think it's a really cool thing. You know, but I've been trying to catch up on that. And the other one that I'm going to start reading that I haven't been reading is I got this book here and I think I showed it to you last time. It's called Strong and Courageous. And it's basically a devotional for fathers though. And I'm going to start trying to read that too, bro.
That's good.
I read a few of them. So yeah, so it's just basically daily devotionals for fathers. It's called Strong and Courageous. That's what I'm trying to do. And of course, I'm still reading my Bible.
Of course, man.
You know,
that's awesome, man.
That's got to get done. So what about you, bro?
You know what, man? I just been listening to a lot of sermons this week. Been reading my Bible, just doing little different things here and there. Just trying to put all the pieces together.
Yeah.
One thing that came across my plate this week was 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. And Paul's talking about, you know, he's talking about building a house, and he's basically saying that he built the foundation based on Jesus Christ for us. But everyone that kind of comes after him, who's going to build on top of this foundation, that is going to be judged based on how they build it and what materials they use. So basically all these, you know, preachers, teachers, people like us, anybody that's, you know, spreading the gospel, spreading the good news, it'll be tested on the day of judgment and your rewards will be based on that. And if it's good stuff that you built, it'll stand. If it's not, it'll be burned, you know. You'll still be saved regardless. It said the last line says you'll still be saved regardless, but it'd almost be like you're trying to hop out of a house that's on fire. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it just really kind of touched me because it was like, all right, we hear a lot about false prophets out there. You know, people like to criticize different pastors, especially on the mega church level. Like, I don't like T.D. Jakes, or I don't like Osteen, or I don't like Furtick. Or they do like them, vice versa. You know, it just made me really think about that.
Right.
They'll have their time of judgment. If you feel like, you know, they're not satisfying you for whatever reason, even though they're using scripture, just know that they'll have their day. You know what I'm saying? But it's all the word of God. I just feel like we should all just be on the same team. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's a lot
more people hating on each other and kind of like just comparing each other to each other, like the different churches and different denominations. And it's like, y'all, we're on the same team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you can even push that a little further, maybe to Catholicism. I'll bring that up because I grew up Catholic. And again, I don't want to speak for all Catholics, or I'm not going to talk about all churches because that'd be really wrong of me. But all I can do is talk about my personal experiences at church. And I was just having this conversation with Brother Marcus, not too long ago. I was telling him that's what kept me from church a lot of the times, because a lot of people would go to church. Like, I would see the way they would live during the week, and then they would go to church on Sunday. Now, the community I grew up in, my family, everybody was Catholic. So to me, I felt like everybody was like that, just from the people that I saw. Right. And then when we moved out here, me and my wife got married through a Catholic church, and, you know, we both been baptized and did our confirmations and all that good stuff. When we went to go baptize my son at church, at a Catholic church, we went through that too. And then it was weird because once we were done baptizing him, you know, we would go to church on Sunday, try to go to church because that's what we were, you know, quote unquote, trying to do the right thing. And we actually had a priest because it was a small church, which I won't say what it is, but which one it was. But it was a small church. They didn't have a like a kids program or you know,
like daycare stuff.
Daycare stuff. They didn't have any of that. And they also didn't have like an overflow room where you can take, you know, your child and go sit in that room kind of thing. So we would go to church, and, you know, we didn't have any family out in this area. So we would go to church with him. He was a year and a half, whatever, 2 years old. And we actually had the priest tell us if we can please either find a babysitter so that we can come to church or not come to church till my son was old enough to kind of sit still.
Wow.
And that was kind of a trip.
Don't come to church.
And again, I'm not going to say that all Catholic churches are like that. It was probably this one priest.
But it was your experience.
But it was my experience.
Yeah.
And it really turned me and my wife off. It's like, why would we want to go back to a church? Like, we're here trying to learn about Jesus and trying to figure out this path, you know, this walk. And you're basically telling us we can't come right now. We got to wait another year, two years or 3 years or whatever till my son can sit still.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it probably won't be till he's six so he can actually sit.
You never know.
Through a whole hour service, you know. So that really turned us away. And I don't think we pretty much went back to a Catholic church after that.
So eventually we ended up at
the church we're at now. And again, I'm only speaking for myself. But going back earlier to what you were saying earlier about the mega churches and all these different pastors and things, I think it's in our nature, bro, to just be haters first instead of be congratulators, right?
It's true, right?
It's just in our nature. We're all haters. Because here's my thing. If I listen to Joel Osteen, my wife loves Joel Osteen.
Okay.
She actually, well, you guys know her now, Letty. She actually listens to like a Joel Osteen sermon, like first thing in the morning. She wakes up, turns it on, boom, it's on while she's getting dressed, making breakfast, whatever. It's on. She has multiple books from Joel Osteen. She read them all. Me personally, I'm not a big fan of Joel Osteen.
Okay.
Not because of what he says. It's just the way he talks. It's kind of slow.
Yeah.
I lose interest because of the way he talks. It just is not my guy. But instead of hating on him and telling my wife, like, I don't listen to him. He's whack.
Right.
You know what? He is just not my type of coffee.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go over here, and I found John Gray. John Gray is exciting. He talks. He's funny. That's my, you know, that to me is interesting. So I listen to him. None against Joel Osteen personally.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not for me. So if you don't believe Joel Osteen, if you believe that Joel Osteen is not preaching gospel, if you believe, because there was like a big thing when the whole storm happened in Houston that he didn't open his church, and there's all these things online. Unless you were there and they really closed the doors on you, then you know what happened. But if you live in California, and you like, oh, Joel Osteen didn't open his church in Houston. Bruh, you were not in Houston when it happened. Yeah. You don't know exactly what happened.
That's true.
Stay away from that. Like, just move on to somebody else. Move on. Go listen to somebody else. Go listen to Ferguson. Go listen to whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what people should do. Because I think we get so caught up in trying to hate on people. And because, you know, John Gray bought his wife a Lamborghini or whatever. So now we're going to talk about him and how he stole money from the church. And leave that man alone, man. Exactly. He ain't hurting me. He ain't bothering me. If it's right or wrong, God will deal with him.
Yes, God will.
It ain't my job to judge him.
He's the one that can judge.
You know, if he took that money from the church, God will get him for that.
Right.
You know, if he got money because he sold his books and did this and did that, then God's going to, you know, give him props for it.
Right.
That's the end of it. Like, why are we sitting here criticizing? Like, it's our job to sit there and point fingers at all these different pastors because they live in bigger and better than us.
Yeah.
Cut it out.
I think what I heard about, because Osteen's kind of like what got me like listening to church stuff when I wasn't really saved or walking with the Lord.
Well, he was one of the first ones to really blow up online.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably why I came across him.
Yeah.
I realize now when I listen to him now, because I'm just a little bit deeper now, he was a seed planter for me. He was a certain level, a certain surface for me. I'm trying to go a little bit deeper. So when I hear him now, I need a little bit more. But again, that's not a reason for me to go, oh, this guy sucks. I'm going to hate on him. It's just like, no, he just, his message doesn't really resonate with me. It doesn't really touch me. I need to go a little bit deeper. I played a little football back in high school and stuff like that. So I like the coaching. I like the in your face. I like the intense, like old school Billy Graham and like,
TD Jakes
is like yelling. I like that. It fires me up, but you know, I'm still learning. You know, there's a, a pastor in San Leandro, Pastor Gary at Faith Fellowship Church, man. He's I watch him on YouTube. He's more of a teacher. He doesn't yell too much, but he's a teacher. And that's where I'm at right now. And I love that. But again, it's not, God wants you to love everybody. So you can love all these guys and give them their props and their respect without hating on them. You know what I'm saying? It's just, those people are just not for you. Like Steve Furtick. I mean, I think he's got some good stuff, but when I listen to it, it just, you know, he's not for me. So I'm not going to say, oh, this guy's just a performer and he's just trying to, you know what I mean? Like he's got big churches and wherever he's at and he's got seven campuses and no, that's not up to us to do that, man. Exactly. We got to, as Christians, man, I just want to say we got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
We got to start loving more. Stop hate less, love more, man.
Exactly.
Only God can judge. Yep. You don't want people pointing at, looking in your house and pointing at all your sins. Mm-hmm. You know, just because they're in the public eye doesn't mean it gives you an opportunity to poke holes. You know,
what's that saying? Before you take the thing out of somebody's eye, take the log out of yours.
Yeah, take the log out of yours. That's scripture. Right. Absolutely. That's scripture,
right? So, I mean, because I heard it one time. Somebody said, before you try to go clean somebody's house, clean your own porch.
Yeah.
I mean, get your house straightened out before you start trying to clean somebody else's. And I think that's, and again, I think it just goes back to our nature of being haters. I think generally we're just haters, bro. We are. I mean, all of us are, you know, and because it happens. I mean, generally speaking, I think a lot of times most of us, you know, we congratulate each other. And I think that's the way it should be.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying we all haters, but I'm talking, you know, generally. But for that reason, and not only that, but we like drama. We like the gossip. So a lot of times I just trip out because like I'll watch a video on like the whole Jodeci thing. Cause like I've seen a bunch of those videos were everywhere for a while. And I remember literally watching a video and then like the next day talking to somebody at work.
Yeah.
And they were telling me basically everything I just heard on the video before.
Yeah.
Like it was on Facebook. So it's like, oh, you saw that same video yesterday.
Video, yeah.
And you're reciting the same thing. You're not even researching it. So like,
yeah.
You know why you, man? Anyways, but that's what trips me out is people just want to hate. But at the same time, it's like my wife listens to Jodeci. I don't have a problem with Jodeci. Yeah. I think his messages when I listen to him when I, you know, in the morning on a Saturday or something, I can relate to what he's saying. I'm like, okay,
right.
But you're not gonna catch me listening to him.
Okay.
You know, I listen to John Gray. I like John Gray. John Gray to me is funny.
Whatever it takes, man.
And that's what I listen to.
Whatever it takes.
And honestly, I'll listen to like so watch. I watch even sermons from like our church. I go back and listen to those. You know what I mean? I like the way our pastors talk. I like it. Boom. I listen to that.
Exactly.
Because I relate to it. I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, now, and not just pastors, but I think just people in general, we got to stop hating on each other, man.
We got to, you know, think about the enemy, man. Enemy wants to divide and conquer, right?
Yeah.
Divide and conquer. Well, when we're doing that, what are we doing? We're dividing.
Yeah.
You know, we have to work together. I mean, Christ saved us all, but we're all going to break up and split up within Christ. Mm. That's kind of weird to me. I don't know. But we all love the same Jesus.
Right.
But we're hating on each other and saying you're not loving them the way I'm loving them. Right. What's going on here? You know,
we gotta stop doing that, man.
You guys just start loving
each other. Like maybe me and you should start like bring all the different denominations together.
That'd be cool. That'd be interesting. That'd be interesting.
Let's do like one big meeting. Like, okay, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It's funny because the more you talk to people that are like experts in this, the more you find out, and it's like, dude, like, why do you believe that? Like, what's going on here? Why do you stand here? Why do you stand there? Is all it kind of feels almost like politics, almost, where it's like Republican, Democrat, and because I'm a Republican,
we're all Americans, but
because I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat, I stand for this,
right?
And there's like no gray area, and it's like,
right?
So we're picking sides in Jesus, like, what is going on here, man?
Yeah.
So I just always found that interesting, man.
No, and it's a trip because, I mean, God, you know, they say God was never a politician or Jesus wasn't a politician or whatever, you know. He's a king.
Yeah, remember.
He sits at the throne to this day. He is not about Republicans or Democrats or independent.
No.
He is a king.
He's a king, man. And those Pharisees, man, when he was debating with those Pharisees and they were trying to tear, you know, pull his argument apart. Why are you healing, you know, this sick person? Why are you talking to this prostitute? Why are you? Think about that.
Yeah.
Are we doing this? Are we making the same type of judgments?
Pretty much.
So, I mean,
you look around, it's pretty much.
It kind of happens now. You know what I mean? So anyone that's listening to this and, you know, you've done that, check yourself.
Yeah.
Ask God for forgiveness. Ask the Father to search your heart and just, you know, get back to your word. And
of course.
Get back to the source.
And I think it goes back to like even people like at church, man, because sometimes, you know, we start judging the whole. Our own brothers and sisters in Christ in our own church.
In our own church, yeah.
That's crazy, man.
It is.
You know? If you got a problem with somebody, it's cool. Nobody's saying everybody got to get along and we all got to hold hands and sing kumbaya all the time.
Right, right.
But at some time, it's like, hey, look, Okay, me and you don't see eye to eye. You stay on that side, I'm going to stay on this side. But at the end of the day, we're both here praising the same Jesus. You got issues, I got issues. We just, you know, just going stick to ourselves. But you don't stop going to church, or you don't stop, walk away from Jesus because of another person, right?
Absolutely not.
You know, because, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I grew up Catholic, and I have so many questions. I do, bro. It's a trip. Now that I'm going to this church, and I'm understanding, and I'm starting to read, I start questioning, like, why did I do what I did as a child? Like, I even told my mom one time. Even my mom was like, that's tradition. That's why we did it. You know, for the most part, that's what it was. Because my mom was not a big church-going person. She didn't go to church much. You know, and so she's like, it was tradition. So now I have questions. Why Catholics do sometimes what they do? And honestly, I'm just curious and interested because somebody might be able to answer my questions and then be like, I'll be like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's dope. Like, right on. But, you know, I don't know. Right. You know, I just don't know anymore. And I know I got family in Texas that are really deep in Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe someday when if I go visit my mom, I can go hang out with my aunt and my cousins. And
well, you know what? You got to shoot them this link for the podcast, man, so they can.
I hope they're listening. I don't know if they're listening.
We got some representation in Texas. So Spring, Texas, Dallas, the Houston area. There's some people listening out there. I can see on the stats.
My family hasn't said anything yet in Texas. So.
No?
No. My uncles, cousins, I don't know if they're listening.
But, okay.
But hey, shout out to all my family in Texas if y'all are listening.
That's what's up.
I know they're out there in the Austin area somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, Texas is nice, man. Cool, man. Cool. Well, let's shut it down, man.
Yeah, bro. Well, again, we just want to say thank you to everybody for listening and tuning in and hanging out with us today. We definitely have a great time just having this discussion. We didn't really have much of a topic. Kind of did, I guess. But
we had something to chat about, I guess.
Something to chat about. It's always fun just to have normal conversation. But again, thank you guys for listening. Catch us on Facebook, on Instagram. Shoot us an email. Anything you guys want to discuss or talk about, we are at the Rough and Real Podcast at gmail.com. Shoot us an email. Hope everybody stays good. Stay blessed. We love you guys. You want to pray us out, my brother?
Absolutely. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give this day our daily bread, Lord. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For you are the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. One more time, Rough and Real family. We love you guys, and we are out.
Peace.